The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's show is a special show. The title of the show today is Innovation in Work Boots, three companies from Eastern Foundry. What we're going to do is we're going to bring in three companies from an incubator called Eastern Foundry. We're going to ask them a question, how can you help my listeners? And at the end, we're going to bring in the managing partner from Eastern Foundry. We're going to ask him, okay, you have bunch of companies out there you're working with, how can they help my listeners, the federal IT professionals, how can it make their life easier, or how can they help them achieve the goals of their agencies? So we're going to start off real quickly. Our first guest is named Brendan Snow, and he's his co-founder of a company called Forward Funded. How are you today, Brendan?
I'm doing really well, John. How are you?
So Forward Funded, tell me about the name of the company and what you do, and maybe a little about your background, please.
Sure. So Forward Funded is basically, it's layaway for modern e-commerce. We make it really easy and simple for people to automatically budget and then save up for anything that they want to buy in an e-commerce context. We came up with the name because it's a little bit like you're sort of funding something into the future, right? You're saving up for it automatically. It even sort of ties into the concept of like a forward contract where you're going to You're making a, sort of a plan now to get something in the future. My background, I went to University of Colorado at Boulder undergrad, and then studied also in Paris, France at a school called Sciences Po. Did a little bit of work at World Bank and then started Forward Funded.
Well, let me put this in perspective. There may be younger listeners here that don't understand this whole budgeting concept.
Sure.
Back in the 60s and 70s, if you wanted to buy, let's say, your boy Jeff a truck, what you'd do is you'd say, take this truck, put it in the basement, and what I'll do is I'll make maybe a $5 payment every month until Christmas.
Right.
And then at Christmas, you'd take and you'd get it. And this is the way people would budget for gifts or for travel,
right,
or for expensive things. And so it was called saving up is the old school doing it. In fact, years ago, what you'd do is you'd put little envelopes on your desk and you'd say, okay, here's an envelope full of money. This is going to be for gasoline. This is going to be for food. This is going to be for insurance. This is going to be for whatever. And then when the envelope was empty, you went starving. And so that's how people would actually, in the 80s and 90s, we used to do that. You know, my wife was a stay-at-home mom. We had no money. But what you're doing is you're applying that to the digital world, aren't you?
Right, exactly. All we're doing is we're taking that exact same concept of sort of goal-based or envelope-based savings, and we're integrating it with something that people love to do, which is shopping. And they love to load up items in their shopping cart. And we're just basically making the envelope saving system a payment option. So when you go to pay for something, let's say you're going to go to check out at whatever your favorite e-commerce store is, the long-term vision is that you would just have a button right there on the store that lets you create an envelope for either that item or for the items in your shopping cart.
So it's a virtual envelope.
Exactly. It's a virtual envelope system. And we're essentially trying to do for saving what credit card networks did for borrowing in like the 60s and 70s, right? Borrowing is so pervasive now because it's at every single point of sale. And we think the same strategy is going to work for saving.
So if someone's listening now and wants to get more information, what's your website, please?
So you can check us out at forwardfunded.com. That's funded with a past tense, so forwardfunded.com. And you can give us a trial run. We actually have an e-commerce store, so you can go ahead and you can pick out an item. You can set up an envelope. You can automatically save up. We've got much of what Walmart has for sale. We're a Walmart affiliate, so you can try it out with those Walmart products. And then also, if you want, you can let us know if there's any merchants that you would like to see us partner with. So, for example, if you'd like to see us partner with, I don't know, say Target or Nordstrom, or even if there's a local boutique you'd like us to work with, you know, if you let us know that, we're actually building a technology right now that lets us plug in with different retailers directly on their site.
So, was it cost me, or was it cost my listeners?
Totally free. It's totally free. So yeah. So one thing that we think has been done poorly in the past with savings programs is there's been a big fee attached to it. And really, if you think about it, if you're saving, it should at least be fee free. So it's totally free to users. And the other great thing about Ford Funded is that, let's say you're saving up for a TV that costs, just as an example, $1,000. You're $600 in and you say, you know what? I'm going to need that $600 for something else to pay the rent or put food on the table. You can cancel the envelope, get your money back, and use it for that purpose. So it's totally reversible.
I have a friend whose daughter married a young man who joined the Air Force, mm-hmm. and they have two kids now. They're living in Utah, mm-hmm. and they don't have any money. They're kind of broke. However, this is an approach that they can use to save up for something, because sooner or later, they're going to have to get tires for that car or buy a second car or baby needs a pair of shoes, in a classical phrase. This is a real nice way for service members to not worry about what's going to happen at Christmas time.
Yeah, exactly. We really think that helping out service members and sort of the service member community and their families is a great way for us to go. You know, service members as a group, they tend to be, and also particularly military spouses as a group, they tend to be pretty financially conservative. They tend to really be very budget focused. And there's actually, within at least the military spouse community, there's an entire culture on Pinterest and things of like, budgeting and frugality and do it yourself and saving money. So we think that this is one tool that they'll have in their sort of toolbox to help them budget, save money, stay out of debt, you know, and get the things they want without having to borrow a lot of money.
And that community is rock solid. You know, the people we know, whether it's Navy, whether it's Air Force or the Marine community, is very, very solid. And they're always trying to help each other out. And this is a good way in order to save up enough money to buy a house or maybe buy a major purchase like a car or university education somewhere down the road. So if they go to forwardfunded.com, do they sign up for something? Do they download an app or what do they do?
Sure. So we don't actually have an app right now out in the App Store and the Apple or Android app stores. It's just a web-based app. But so they, there's a few different levels that they can do. So the first thing that they can do is they can just sign up. And actually, at this point, we're running a promotion wherein if you sign up and if you suggest a merchant that you'd like for us to partner with, we'll actually send you a $10 gift card to that merchant, or even just an open $10 Visa gift card. So that's there. That's on the first side. And then the other thing is that if you want to give us a trial run, you can actually go to the store section of our site. And unfortunately, the store is only live in 4 states. We're only live in Massachusetts, South Carolina, Montana, and New Mexico. We're working on rolling that out in other states as soon as we can. But if you're in one of those 4 states, you can also give us a try and kind of see how it works and, you know, give us feedback on the app and how we can improve and, you know, serve service members and their families even better.
So you've been affiliated with Eastern Foundry. How's that helped you with your organization, your company?
It's helped us in a huge way. We really are big fans of the team at Eastern Foundry, actually. We were having, you know, a feedback session with some of the team at Eastern Foundry, including Jeff Orzem, whom I believe you'll speak with today. And he basically had a pretty big insight about the business, which is that at least in an e-commerce or retail context, we can really help retailers reduce something called shopping cart abandonment. And shopping cart abandonment is a massive problem for most online retailers. You know, what happens is people, and I do this, you know, we load up items in our shopping cart and then we go, you know, holy moly, $200 worth of books or $200 worth of clothes or, you know, whatever the case may be. And we basically just, we abandon the shopping cart. So we click away, we navigate to another site, whatever the case may be. This is a massive, massive problem for online retailers. As much as I've heard, $4 trillion in terms of value is actually lost according to in terms of shopping cart abandonment. So we think that we can help retailers reduce shopping cart abandonment that comes from sticker shock, from the overall price of the item or the cart being too high. One technique or method, there are many, but one technique to reduce shopping cart abandonment is to provide more payment options at the point of sale. And that's exactly what we are. We're basically, you know, a button for e-commerce retailers to plug in directly to their site.
It's almost so before you leave, make sure you hit the button, because that's going to help us save enough money to go back and see our parents on the East Coast in Christmas
exactly.
time or something.
So just to tie it all back, you know, that pretty significant insight came as a result of our association with Eastern Foundry. And then we've also just, you know, had the honor of working with the other companies there, and they've for sure made our company better. You're going to talk to Sam Meek at Sandbox. You know, he's given me great feedback. His team has really helped us. So it's just a great place to be, you know, if you're a company that in any way is going to work with or serve the federal government or people who work for the government.
Go to Twitter at ForwardFunded, and yes, your website is ForwardFunded.com. Give them some feedback. I think that might help a lot of young people with budgeting challenges, and that certainly is a challenge for everyone in the military because the pay is low, and it's very hard to adjust what's going on and where you live, and no one can predict where you're going to be, and so it's a tough place to be.
Exactly.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest for this past section was Brendan Snow, co-founder of Forward Funded. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's show is called Innovation in Work Boots, three companies from Eastern Foundry. We're going to bring in three separate companies, and we're going to show how these companies can make life easier for my listeners. In the final block, we'll get someone in from Eastern Foundry and talk about what the heck is Eastern Foundry all about. Sounds like some industrial thing from Pittsburgh or something, but no, it's a foundry for ideas. Hope these ideas can help my listeners who are federal information and technology professionals. Our next guest here is a gentleman by the name of John Knoebel. He's a senior vice president of government and affiliates for Da Vincian Healthcare. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Good afternoon, John. It's great to be here. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, people may be listening to this when the Redskins are playing, and they can say Da Vinci, and, oh, I know Da Vinci. That's that guy from Italy, the real smart guy who thought he was a military engineer but was really an artist. Mm. And so if they want more information on your company, I'll spell it out. It's D-A-V-I-N-C-I-A-N. It's DaVincian.com. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So nothing to do with Italy or the good food over the wine. What's Da Vinci all about?
Well, Da Vincian's about using mobile technology and devices, which are ubiquitous now around the world, to deliver and improve healthcare. And so we're very much about quality, and we're about the ability to measure outcomes within a population or an individual in order to make sure that they're getting the type of care that they need, and it can be geographically independent. So the doctor could be in the United States and the patient could be in India. Doesn't make any difference to us. We still deliver quality healthcare.
Well, if you went to Google Trends and typed in medical, you get a big graph up. And if you typed in mobile, you get another big graph up. So you are hitting a lot of people in the strike zone here, aren't you?
We certainly are. And the beauty of the way that Da Vincian approaches this is it's a platform approach. And so therefore, we don't make people buy just a simple or a single app or a single software set. We make those softwares and apps work together.
So what Da Vincian Healthcare does is it has applications that help patients, it helps physicians, helps billing companies, hospitals. Who exactly is your target user?
Well, the first target user is the individual patient themselves. And the interesting thing about quality health and actually improving your health after an injury or an illness is that the people around you affect your outcomes as well as the people around them. And so therefore, our apps would cover the gamut from the patient to the family caregiver to the concerned family member on the patient-facing side. And then on the physician-facing side, it would be the entire coordination of care within the multidisciplinary team that's actually working with the patient and their caregiver as well.
This morning in doing preparation for this interview, I went to your website, DaVincian.com. All kinds of stuff there. Real nice website. Must put some work into that.
A little bit of work went into it, probably about a year worth of effort and multiple iterations, but it has grown along with our offerings, and so therefore it really does reflect the nature of Da Vincian, which has been to start with the platform and then branch out from there in the offerings that we have for people and for clinicians.
Let's focus in on one small product or application called Health Connect. What exactly is that?
Well, Health Connect is actually an app, and what it does is it provides highly secure HIPAA-compliant messaging and video between clinicians for coordination of care, between clinicians and patients for delivery and instruction of treatment programs, and it provides discharge and instructions for family caregivers and information for the concerned family members that may exist within a patient's life.
You know, John, I was giving some awards away a few weeks back, and I had some people on stage who are leaders at HHS, and we were doing a panel discussion. And I was really shocked because one of these fellows said, we know the VA last year did 700,000 telemedicine appointments. I said, wow, really? And he says, many veterans prefer those because many veterans live in rural areas. They can't get to a hospital. It's cheaper. And also, if you have a mental health problem like traumatic stress, it's less onerous burden to sit in a waiting room. What's your problem? Well, I got a broken leg. And so for mental health issues, and so telemedicine's been a big winner in the last 5 years, hasn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, we work with a pretty good-sized veteran group here in the U.S. and worldwide. And quite frankly, when you need care, you need care. And telemedicine is one of those ways where you don't have to take a half-hour or two-hour trip into the hospital or the clinic, or wait until the clinic opens in order to get that type of treatment. And so therefore, we found that telemedicine is really a key to improving outcomes and having medicine available in the right place at the right time, provided by the right provider.
I think DaVincian Healthcare is really onto something here. There's a group that everyone knows is called HIMSS. They have conferences with 40,000 people. Every December, they have an event. They used to call it M Health for Mobile Health, and they're changing the name this year in December. It's called Personal Connected Health. It's like, did you guys write that? Who wrote that? The people from DaVinci? And it fits exactly with what you're trying to do.
Yes, we did write it. No, just kidding. Quite frankly, it is, you know, the democratization or the uberization or the personalization of healthcare has actually been going on for a long time. Patients have become more demanding. Even the American Medical Association is beginning to recognize the fact that you can't be a physician in an office with limited hours and still provide the type of outcomes that you're looking for. So the personalization of healthcare is something that we've been reaching for a long time. When I was with HHS, we called it primordial health because of the decisions that are made upstream that affect your health downstream. And if we had a product such as DaVincians in those days, we would have been able to have an even greater impact on the decisions that people make that affect their health for their entire life.
I'll guarantee you one thing. Anyone listening to this show would never type in primordial, but they may type in something like personal connected health. I mean, primordial is a weak word there, I would say.
Yep, absolutely. And what we're seeing is in the realm of public health, the division between population health and lifestyle choices and health, actual healthcare delivery is really shrinking. That all of that is becoming instrumental in the delivery of the type of outcomes that we as a nation expect.
So let's say it's Christmas time and you're listening to this as a podcast. You typed in maybe healthcare IT or maybe something like personal connected health. And they go to your website. Can they download something? Do they sign up? I mean, how do they interact with your company?
Well, the simplest thing to do is when you're on the website, download Health Connect. It's a good way to start. There are other apps that are coming out. One is called Kara, which is also has a little bit of artificial intelligence behind it. And so therefore, where we're headed with these apps is a technology that learns you instead of you learning the technology. And I think that's a very important distinction because the more we know about a person, the better their outcomes are going to be.
So I download the app. Do I pay for it? I mean, who pays for this?
At DaVincian. quite frankly, the app is free because it's really a delivery system. And where the true value comes is when you begin interacting with your physicians or your care team. And for those apps, the physicians and the care teams would actually be providing and paying for their presence on the platform in order to provide that type of service to you.
Yeah, it makes life easier for them, I would think. Okay. You're affiliated with this group called Eastern Foundry. Tell me, good, bad, ugly, sad, what about them?
I think it's great. Quite frankly, we have a number of our team, both on the product side and the marketing side, that are working directly with them. And it's really been a superior incubator for not only ideas, but for reality check to whether a technology would be a bright, shiny object or whether a technology is really going to be useful with the overall goal of improving outcomes and measuring that improvement in those outcomes.
What I like is that people of a certain age, like you and me, can interact with people like Brendan Snow and exchange information. I'm going to learn as much from Brendan as he's learned from me. Maybe I've been beat up and knocked around more than he has, and maybe he has ideas I never thought of. But I think this intermingling of different ideas is really a value at Eastern Foundry.
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference. As many opinions and viewpoints as we can possibly get is really what's going to be important for us. And quite frankly, in order to make technology meaningful to the consumer, it requires a number of different opinions and a number of different viewpoints. And so this has been a really great ground for us to work with our products.
I like those words, make technology meaningful. Boy, I should steal that and use that for this show. Or maybe Eastern Foundry should steal that and have that as their logo. Make technology. What good is it unless it's meaningful? It's no good at all. You can't apply it somewhere. Save money. Make someone's life easier. Maybe have a vet who's out in the middle of Montana somewhere get the kind of service that he needs, because they just have to. And that's not a two-hour drive if you live in Montana. It could be a four-hour drive one way. I know that's what it's like in western Washington State. Well, more information, go to your company at Davincian, Davincian.com. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest in this section is John Knobel, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at Davincian Healthcare. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's show is called Innovation in Work Boots. We bring in three companies from an incubator like Eastern Foundry, and we ask each company how they can help our listeners save money or get home on time or maybe solve a problem, maybe reach a goal of their agency. And so what I thought would be good to do is to bring in the managing partner for Eastern Foundry, and his name is Jeff Orizem. Jeff, how are you today?
John, pleasure to be here.
Well, tell us a little about your background and why you even started to put together this group called Eastern Foundry.
So John, I've been lucky enough to have a really diverse background. So really started life in the Marine Corps. From there, ended up in grad school. Ended up spending some time as a federal contractor in Iraq and Afghanistan, working with the tribes there. And then ended up from there to management consulting. And during all each of these phases, got to see a different piece of the government procurement process, either as a consumer of government products and services as a Marine, or as somebody trying to provide them as a contractor in Iraq. Some of the frustrations that I saw was really the inspiration to get involved.
So founded in 2014?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how many companies are involved with you folks?
So we've got 81 companies that predominantly those are companies that are taking an office from us that are using us as their day-to-day main office or maybe as a regional office for their federal sales group of a larger group that could be any company that was out of Huntsville, Alabama, California, or overseas.
I think what's fascinating about this is that you assume that there's going to be individuals maybe with a military background who have gumption, innovation, and want to solve problems. I mean, most people think it's from the commercial sector, but this comes from, I imagine a lot of these companies have military backgrounds.
A tremendous number of our members are veterans. You know, between our CEOs, we've probably got, I'd say, at least a third, probably closer to a half of our CEOs are veterans. And then being the government contracting space, it maybe comes as no surprise, a tremendous number of the employees at these companies are vets themselves.
So for more information, you can go to eastern-foundry.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So we show up at eastern-foundry.com. All kinds of stuff going on, all kinds of events. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this, just go to eastern-foundry.com. And I guess you're speaking at some events coming up. Is that right?
That's right. We try to speak on a variety of topics around government procurement reform, talk about government opportunities that are coming up. So we're trying to really span the gap from talking about the nitty-gritty of CIOSP 3's recompete, all the way out to how the government should be thinking about acquiring cloud services.
We have a family friend whose son is about to finish 20 years, and he is a captain of the Rangers. And so let's say he's listening to the show, mm-hmm. and he's stationed here in Washington, D.C. Yep. And he says, you know, one problem that the Rangers have is X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z. And if I could start a company, I wouldn't want my guys getting killed because of these stupid problems. Mm-hmm. And so what they can do is they can go to Eastern Foundry and maybe listen in and say, hey, Jeff, is this a good idea or not? Can bounce it right off of you.
Absolutely. We love those companies. We have probably two or three of those conversations every week.
Every week.
Absolutely. There's so many people in the D.C. area that are connected to the federal government, whether through the military or civilian service, that have experienced or lived with a certain frustration over their 20-year career. They've known that it was there. They've wanted to do something about it, didn't know how. And as they're getting out saying, hey, this is our opportunity. We're going to come out. We're going to create a product, create a service that will meet a need that people in my shoes are still dealing with.
Well, that's exactly the formula out of a Harvard Business School, isn't it? You know, find a problem and fix it. You can find a problem in a nonprofit. You can find a problem in the military. You can find a problem at Joe's Donuts down the street. Mm-hmm. Find a problem and solve it. And what's interesting about Eastern Foundry is that someone come up to you with an idea for healthcare IT. Another person come up to you for saving money. Mm-hmm. Another person come up to you and have an idea for organizing different parts of the military. And so your brain must be a mile wide or something, like the Missouri River, all kinds of different concepts here.
Well, it's certainly an inch deep. So it was one of the real joys of this job is getting to interact on both sides of the fence. So we get to spend a lot of time with the innovation teams, with the program offices at different agencies, people who are looking for a solution to a problem that they're experiencing. Maybe they want new blood in their vendor pool. Maybe they have a problem that they know the private sector has solved, but can't quite seem to get their finger on who can bring that into the federal space. So we become a lot of the time that clearinghouse that allows a federal buyer, federal officer of different one stripe or another to come and engage with and meet some of our small businesses. And if I don't know the answer, if they just talk to a half dozen of our businesses, almost certainly they know somebody who does. So we have this wonderful network of networks.
So let's say you have an appointment at noon today with John Gilroy, and mm-hmm. I have an idea, and an appointment with Brendan Snow, and he has an idea. Mm-hmm. And so you evaluate 10 or 15 companies and go, well, we're going to go with this Brendan Snow and invite him in, or does he invite – who does the asking here?
So it's a little bit of both. I think that by and large, it's almost always a really clear fit. You know, if somebody has a real sense that there's an opportunity for grants money, for federal procurement dollars, R&D, or some other benefits by being closely connected to the federal space, Eastern Foundry is going to be a good option for them. But we also get approached by a lot of wonderful companies that are doing something in next gen delivery services for flowers or next gen evaluation of nannies. Great companies, but they're not good fits for us. And so it's very rarely are people on the fence about coming to Eastern Foundry.
And most of your direction is towards the federal government, I would assume. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good. Tell us where you're located and tell us about the website and its development and what kind of stuff you can find at your website.
Absolutely. So we're at 2011 Crystal Drive, so right in the heart of Crystal City, which is great for our members, who many of whom are serving the Pentagon, serving TSA, which is great access. Plus, we're surrounded by all the big prime vendors, so that gives wonderful access for our smalls to those primes. And then if you come to our website, you'll see a list of our events that are coming up, so events that range from educational services on the government contracting process all the way to big informational events on upcoming opportunities and teaming opportunities. So that's what you'll find. And the easiest way to get involved is just go ahead and subscribe to our newsletter. You'll get a weekly email about all the events and some of the news that are news in the federal space.
So eastern-foundry.com, subscribe to the newsletter, find out about the events. So if you're thinking about retiring and making a transition, so you can go to one of these events and parking is free after 4 mm-hmm. o'clock. You can take the train there. You can walk from the Pentagon, I think. That's not mm-hmm. a bad idea there. And so what I find fascinating is that the wide range – I was at an event there, and there's a whole event dedicated to power systems and controlling power. Mm-hmm. And you could have another event on – and it's such a wide range. It could be taxes. It could be healthcare IT. I just don't know how you can stretch and be able to competently evaluate business ideas for that wider range of organizations.
So that's a great question. So in a lot of ways, we're not evaluating the business concept in a vacuum. We're looking at a business concept directly in relationship to a known government need. So we have this great opportunity to focus on a customer. And the customer tells us, we are interested in next-gen mobile health systems. We are interested in mobile payment platforms. And so we can just go ahead and look at the Quadrennial Defense Review, some of the S&T directorate memos, and say, hey, does this company's concept align with a stated need or an implicit need? And if the answer is yes, I don't need to be an expert on mobile health. I just need to be able to find the mobile health policy papers that have been put out by Health and Human Services, Defense Health, or any of the other big health agencies. And we can make a kind of a quick evaluation of what we think the prospects are. And really, even more importantly, whether or not we can help that company.
Now, there are larger companies like DaVincian who mm-hmm. may have their own office space, but there are small startups that work out of their house and maybe don't want to use that as a mailing mm-hmm. address. And so you can actually have a nice fancy pants Crystal City mailing address here, can't you?
Absolutely. We provide mail service to a lot of companies that are located in the Deep South, in the West Coast, overseas, who want to have that nice DC local mailing address. And they also want to be able to have access to all of our events. They want the informational resources. They want their name to go up on our wall. That's where we help people set it, get their set aside put out there. So if you're a woman-owned small business, you'll be in the woman-owned small business column. If you work at DHS, you'll be in that column as well, which really helps our members team and partner with each other. So,
you know, I'm probably the only person in this room who's actually been inside a foundry, and I don't want to go back. It's hot and nasty and full of dirty air, but there's something called Friends of the Foundry. So who are the Friends of the Foundry?
Friends of the Foundry are really our mentor network, and there are the people who are both formally and informally connected to our business. And these are people who've often been through the government contracting small business growth experience. They started their business 10, 20 years ago. They've gotten to a point now where they want to start giving back, and they've asked to be mentors to our small businesses. Sometimes they're contracting officers or program officers in a government agency that want to be able to have that more exclusive access to our members because they have a need and they think that one of our members or maybe someone that one of our members knows is going to have the solution. So the Friends of the Foundry are this wide-ranging and diverse supporter base of people who want to see the federal government buy better products and services.
And I think that's the motivation for many, many people. It's wanting to share information. And if you're sitting in your spare bedroom trying to start a company, you wind up bouncing your head around the wall. Now, if you can sit up and talk to people like you or there's 80 different people going to float in and out of there, you can grab someone and say, let's have a cup of coffee and you tell me if this is a stupid idea. And I think that's what the Friends of the Foundry are going to say, no, John, that's a bad idea, or tweak it or twist it or something. So this crowdsourcing, this informal way of gaining information, I think is very powerful.
Absolutely. We've had wonderful experiences with our mentors being able to help young companies shape their concepts. But then even beyond the initial shaping stage, being able to say, you know, there's an opportunity coming out of HHS that I know your product or service would be a good fit for, helping them connect into that prime who's already got the incumbent seat on that bid, get that small business in as a sub and to help them succeed.
We're going to have to end now. There's a very interesting discussion here. For more information, you go to eastern-foundry.com, show up at one of their events, pretty relaxed, casual atmosphere. You can bounce ideas off people. And if you want to pursue it, you can pursue it more. There's all kinds of avenues they provide for you. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio. Our guest in this segment is Jeff Orisman. He's a managing partner for Eastern Foundry. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Kind of an unusual show today. The title of the show today is Innovation in Work Boots. Three companies from Eastern Foundry talk about their experiences with innovation, the products they have that'll serve my federal listeners. What we're going to do is we're going to have a free-for-all now. We have three people and three different microphones, and I thought it'd be appropriate to talk about innovation. If the name of the show is Innovation in Work Boots, we can talk about innovation and how to generate ideas that'll help out my listeners. You know, my listeners are federal IT professionals, and if you take a look at them, they show up for work at 9 o'clock in the morning. By 9:15, they're dialing suicide hotline. I mean, they're all frustrated. They're trying to figure out, and they work hard and they're dedicated, but the problem is they get stuff dumped on their desk and they're getting people removed from their staff and increased security and moved to the cloud and this and that and mobile devices and bozos like John Gilroy waltz in with an iPad and want to get on everything and you got security problems. So what I'm just trying to do is come up with ideas to help my listeners maybe help achieve some of their goals for their agency or maybe some of their personal goals as well. So in the studio, we have John Knoebel, we have Brendan Snow, and we have Jeff Orisman, and they're all affiliated more or less with Eastern Foundry. I'm going to start off with you, John. So if you try to design a product that would assist a federal information technology professional or someone from the federal government, where would you start?
I think the best place to start is measurability. Particularly in healthcare, the IT that goes into healthcare right now is designed to capture information. And what we do with that information, how we turn it into informatics, is something that is incredibly important. And I think that one of the things that you're seeing right now in healthcare is the movement from fee-for-service to outcomes-based remuneration. And so for an IT professional, the real challenge lies in the ability to measure outcomes while still maintaining that respect for a person's privacy. So HIPAA compliant, EPHI compliant, and certainly secure. But really what keeps people awake at night right now is the ability to measure. And that's going to require some form of artificial intelligence or machine learning as a underlying foundation for the products themselves so that you know that the information that you're collecting is not only meaningful, but also clean data.
So, John, you know, a wise man once said, if you can measure it, you can manage it. Do you agree with the measurement thesis here?
Absolutely, I do, of course. Measuring is a sort of a key part of an iterative process of rolling out products. That sort of is, you know, generally known as lean startup methodology. It's the process is, I think if I'm getting it right, it's build, measure, iterate. So actually it's pretty interesting because, when you are doing innovation or when you're building for a highly regulated space, you can't go quite as fast as you normally would in many cases with validation, as you would, if you're dealing with a less regulated space, right? So just as an example, when Facebook was rolling out, they could just basically launch a website. People could come to it and sign up. But in many cases, certainly I believe in healthcare and for us in financial services, you know, we need to make sure that we've complied with a bunch of laws even before we, but before our product gets in front of the consumer. So that's probably, you know, that's one challenge that you need to navigate. And I would say moving slow or moving fast within a limited space is a great way to do an initial launch, get some feedback, and then iterate around the feedback that you get from whoever your customers may be.
Jeff Orsman from Eastern Foundry got a question for you. When I give talks on innovation, I always start off with my prop, which is a megaphone. And I say, to take the megaphone and turn it this way, you have to listen to find out what the problems are. You may be the smartest person in the world, but they don't want to hear you. You have to listen to customers. What role does listening have for innovating for the federal government?
So I think the one key question that any agency needs to ask itself before it begins innovating is, we're innovating to what end? What is the fundamental problem that we're trying to solve? And then being able to listen to the market to understand what's out there. And this has traditionally been, people try to achieve this through the RFI process. But I think that what we're seeing is that there, as the division between the private sector, especially the small business and innovative sector within the private sector, has moved further and further away from government as someone that they see being a viable customer, the ability to listen and even an awareness that the government is speaking or interested in listening just becomes more and more difficult.
You know, John, when the Chicago Bears quarterback lines up and tries to read a defense, he tries to see weaknesses. And when you, working with a younger person, what kind of weaknesses do you see on companies that try to serve federal needs?
I think one of the things that we touched on already is a big weakness, and that is the ability to listen. Because sometimes the messaging isn't necessarily as clear as it needs to be, and you have to read between the lines. You have to be thinking in terms of the outcome, and you also have to be thinking in terms of how lean you can go in order to make that outcome happen. Because the days of the, you know, $3,000 toilet seats are gone. I think that there's a great emphasis on quality and return on investment, and so therefore part of the innovation that you bring to the table is what the audience in the federal government is really looking for. And I think that you need to be able to demonstrate that ability to innovate and that ability to read between the lines and deliver on time and with good performance.
You know, Jeff, I brought in a PhD from HHS, and he has a bachelor's degree in art and a master's degree in social work, and his goal was to help children. And so he went and got a PhD in mathematics in order to help children. Now he does data visualization for HHS. Mm-hmm. And so what motivates people to innovate? His motivation was helping kids. So what motivates people to innovate?
Well, I think it's the same thing that motivates almost anybody in any other sector. I think that what your previous guest has done is wonderful. It's being able to take a diverse set of experiences to attack a problem that they're passionate about. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about the government space in general, is that the missions of the federal government are things that we should be passionate about. These are things like national defense. It's not building a widget. It's not selling a service. We are providing for the security of the nation, or we're providing for the health of the nation, or we're providing for the financial security of our seniors. These are just wonderful missions that really come from a place of passion. And the desire to innovate and the desire to see a better security posture, a better life for our seniors, a better health net, a safety net for our entire community, really should be bringing out the best in the American creative community.
Brendan Snow from Forward Funded. Next week, I have the Chief Security Officer of the Department of State sitting in your seat, and we're going to talk about cybersecurity. So from a cybersecurity perspective, how much emphasis do you put in that, or is that something to lose sleep over, or 10% of your time, or how much to worry about that?
You should be losing a lot of sleep over cybersecurity, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you know, we definitely emphasize it at Forward Funded, even at our small scale. I just think that sort of fundamentally, you know, all the big recent hackings that we've had, you know, very public, like Target and other companies, I think Home Depot as well. I mean, these just demonstrated the sort of weaknesses in the system, and being able to deploy those types of, you know, robust security measures at any type of scale, including a small scale, is increasingly important. Now, on the other side of that, much like when you're sort of dealing with regulation, is that if you're able to do that successfully, then it actually endows a competitive advantage, right? So if you are able to roll out robust security at every stage, and if you're able to be fully compliant at every stage, then over the long term, you're going to succeed more than, you know, a venture or a service, whatever the case may be, that does not.
So, Jeff, you have a military background. You have a strong educational background. So what traits do military personnel bring to this innovation world? Tell me about some traits that you think they bring.
So I think that Thomas Edison said this really well. He said that success was 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. And so I think that where the military community really shines is in that 99% perspiration. They're great at organizing teams. They're great at mapping operations, developing work plans, following through. They know the importance of checking in, about inspecting periodically. And so I think that there is just these innate leadership, not innate, but these cultivated leadership qualities that they develop through their military time, combined with a really strong operational toolkit that allow them to turn their inspiration, their ideas into realities.
In my experience, is they don't even know they have those skills. They're beat into their head, and they know how to organize teams and operate in an agile environment, and they expect everyone knows that. Well, they don't, do they, Jeff?
They do not.
They don't. You get locked into certain ways of thinking, and you don't know what a field expedient is. But in agile software development, you better know what a field expedient is, because things are going to change a whole lot. We're going to have to end our interview today. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, an unusual show. It's called Innovation in Work Boots. Three companies from Eastern Foundry. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.